welcome to the Smuggler's Den.
You will never find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy. We must be cautious.
Brought to you by Game Empire Pasadena, a great friendly atmosphere for playing a wide variety of games and for purchasing all of your gaming needs. Check them out online at GameEmpirePasadena.com. Welcome to Season 2, Episode 4. I'm your host, Tiny Grimes, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host.
I'm Ben Tully. Be sure to check us out at our various online presences, such as Facebook, or emailing the show anytime you'd like at smugglersdenpodcast@gmail.com.
And we would like to bring in a very, very special co-host today, the first ever champion of Star Wars, at least champion of a store championship in our meta, the real deal.
Hello, hello.
You know, everyone was like, oh, is it the guy who won Worlds?
Well, you did start off with pretty high praise there.
Yeah, I was even a little disappointed that it was just me.
Well, I mean, it was nice that you said store championship in our meta, because you could have just been like, the Gameology store champion. And then just like you know, just like assume that he's not going to be the next author store champion. Like, there's going to be like the next one he won't win.
I don't know. I predict now Neil sweeps them.
All of them.
Yep. He goes to a regional and tries to get 4 buys at one regional.
That would be pretty cool.
And argues for like 2 hours about how he should be able to apply them all to one regional.
I don't see Neil doing that. You know who I would see doing that?
Ben?
No.
Andrew?
Nope.
Probably Tiny.
Probably Tiny. You don't see yourself doing something like that?
No, because it says right in the rules that you can't do that.
Hmm.
Otherwise, right, of course. Right in the rules.
Right in the rules. I guess the question is, Neil, did you sleep with a certificate and the plaque on Saturday night?
No. I did keep the plaque out casually on Sunday, so that if people came over, they would see, oh, look, he's a store champion. But
yeah, I gotta say, I didn't realize there was so much on the line that you could win. I decided to go the morning of and was just kind of like, oh, it's just a store championship. That's cool. And then we get there and you guys are talking about it, and I'm like, huh, I should have approached this very differently. Let's move on to something more exciting for the moment. We'll come back to that. We have a spoiler. One day I was sitting at home getting ready to go to class, and whammo, in my inbox are some spoilers. Did a couple cartwheels, emailed you guys, and let's talk about this pod.
Yeah, this is some pretty exciting stuff. Anytime there are new cards after this long delay, even if they're just in spoiler form, pretty exciting.
I was tempted to try to use them this weekend just to spice up the meta, but I had a feeling the store wouldn't let it fly.
Yeah, probably would not have been a good thing.
All right, let's start. It is a Rebel objective set, and the objective itself is called Forward Reconnaissance. It has only one resource. It only has 4 health, so we're basically working with an Emperor's Web situation here. But its reaction is pretty good. After a friendly attacking unit leaves play, deal 1 damage to a target defending unit. That's pretty tricky.
Yeah, I like this a lot. It already feels kind of like a sort of Rebel tricks deck, as I sometimes like to call them. Kind of combos with stuff maybe like Leia or Ackbar that have coming into and leaving play effects. And when I just saw the objective alone, I was already pretty excited because I really like that sort of deck.
Yeah, I think it really helps. Like, there's that deck. And it also really helps just like the Protector vehicle that has 1 black icon, or any ship like that. You can just be like, I chump attack that objective. Do you really want to block that and take a damage? And maybe I have a heat also. And now you're taking 2 damage on just blocking my random tiny unit. I think it makes those decks even more powerful.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if the objective alone is super strong. I mean, you're already going to be losing the attacking unit. And so you're right, there are situations where, you know, it might not be as cost effective for the opponent to defend in the situation. Like, they'll have to reevaluate. But I don't think this objective alone really will turn anybody off all the time of chump blocking. It's not like an immediate, like, well, this is the end of chump blocking.
Definitely.
I mean, one damage, you know, there's a lot of, on the dark side, there's a lot of high damage capacity units out there.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of the Star Destroyers, all the Star Destroyers basically have 3 or more health capacity. Things with shields don't care about this one damage. It's essentially just a way to absorb damage on the shield. But I think you need more than just Leia, you know, a couple of the remove a bunch of units from play effects before this will become, you know, before, you know, as a standalone, I don't think it's as amazing as everything.
I think I have to disagree with you there, because I agree that Navy probably won't care that much. But Navy is not the deck I'm worried about if I'm playing Rebels. It's Palpatine. And Palpatine being able to block and lock down the board and crush me. Whereas now with this out, it makes it a lot dicier for Palpatine to block. Because every time he blocks, if I can have a unit leave play during this attack, then he's going to take a damage.
Sure. But, I mean, it's not like Palpatine's going to be doing damage to that unit.
Yeah.
Right? It's not, if they block by himself, mm-hmm. He's not blowing it up. You have to have another card in your hand, yep, or in play that will then trigger this ability. So, right. I mean, it's one
and
of
there are a lot of plays. Sacrifice vehicles, let the Wookiee win, that new rapid fire card. Like, there's more and more ways to do damage to your own guys. I really think this card is going to end up being pretty important in the meta. But we'll see. You may be right. It may be, one damage. Oh, well.
Well, let's see what else comes with this very cool objective.
Wait, they gave us more than this objective to spoil?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you better read the next one, because I didn't even see them.
Well, the next one is the star unique unit of the set, Jan Ors. She is a 3-cost rebel character, 2 health. She's a character spy. She has a black tactics icon, edge-enabled objective damage, and the very cool reaction. After this unit is focused to strike, return another target-friendly unit to its owner's hand. Then, remove 1 focus token from this unit, limit once per turn. And she has 2 force icons, just to fill out the rest of the card info.
And she also has the really awesome ability to die instantly from a Vader plus force choke.
Yep, she's pretty good for that.
She's a very cool unit who has a lot of kind of combo potential with other stuff that she can... When she strikes, she basically gets to refresh herself and double strike by bouncing another unit, and especially if that other unit is a 1-cost or 0-cost little weenie that you don't care about, that's amazing. Even better if it's attacking with her and you have this objective out, then you're getting to do damage and unfocus her.
Yeah, I would say you can go even farther than that, in that she's insanely flexible. Let's say you attack with her, you need to win the next edge battle. Well, you can actually bounce a decent guy that has a lot of force icons just to make it so that you have a really good chance of winning your next edge battle.
It definitely has a lot of depth, this card, right? I mean, I would venture to guess that this card will result in a lot of quote-unquote Tiny Grimes pro plays. And so it's one of those things where your opponent, especially if it's a first time or maybe a newer opponent or something like that, you're going to be like, I'm going to attack with Jan Ors. And I'm going to be like, cool, that's just nothing right there. And then all of a sudden you're bouncing, you know, Leia's and, as Tiny said, cards to get advantage in the next edge battle or
X-Wing escorts.
Right. There's a lot more. There's a lot more technicality in the card, and having the right other cards on the table already or in your hand to make all of a sudden you have what it seems to be a very benign board, and it becomes a much more, you know, intense Oh, cool. You thought you were going to be able to just, you know, take one tactics. I'm going to double tactics you. I'm going to do X amount of damage. And also I'm going to refresh some number of my units. Like, it's that kind of mentality that will make her particularly strong in a deck when she's in the right kind of deck.
Yep.
What's also a good little thing to note as well for all of you 2v2 players is that it's return another target friendly unit.
Ooh.
So you can also return your allies unit if you're doing 2v2 or the challenge decks or something.
So here's my evaluation of her. If she was 4 cost, 3 health, she would be really, really strong, and I'd be very excited. At 3 cost, 2 health, I'm actually rapidly deciding that she's not that good of a card.
Hmm.
I think we're looking at something where you would have to start reevaluating what type of rebel deck you're running, right? I mean, I think you could probably pull something like this off if it was more of a character-heavy rebel deck, which mm-hmm. I know we haven't played before, and you include the Guardians of Peace,
yep.
right? So you had a little bit more control over where the damage was going.
Right. I just don't like that. I feel like in order to play her, I almost have to play Protectors.
I mean, you don't feel that way about... I mean, you do kind of sometimes, but your most recent iteration of the Han Tree Falcon deck, which has Han, which has 2 health, didn't include Protectors, which I know you saw as a liability by the end of it, but...
It does have Wookiee Life Debt, and it does die to Sith. So, like, it's more of a tier 1.5 deck, and that may be where she slots in, but she's an exciting enough card, and this pod is good enough where I would love to see the slot into and make one of these types of decks a tier one deck. I'm just really worried that with 2 health, you're really hamstrung on what you're able to do with this card.
I think I have to disagree with you. I think that, honestly, the idea that you can't play 2 health characters without having as many protectors as you can fit into a deck is a little bit outdated. I think that with smart play, reading your opponent, seeing how many force chokes they've already used, if they have Vader or not on the board, that you can really play 2 health characters without having to worry as much about them instantly dying. Yeah, it's definitely a possibility you have to keep in your mind and play around, but I think that the game has gotten to a point where with enough play skill you can forsake the dependency on protectors.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to completely disagree. If there weren't 4 force chokes in a deck, I would agree with you, but the fact that there are 4, I just can't get behind that.
I mean, it just depends on your assumption of how long she stays on the board for, right?
Yeah,
I mean, like, if Vader's on the board, right, you're going to assume that they have a force choke in your hand and she's not going to last long. If right. If Vader's not on the board, it at least takes 2 whole force chokes and your turn and their turn. So, she's probably a terrible card to play first turn, right? When you don't have anything else set up, if you spend most of your resources putting her into play, you're going to have probably a pretty bad time. But if you're using her in a situation where there's a strategy behind playing her and knowing that she's out there naked... I not literally, but that turn you're going to get some return from her.
Sure.
Then it makes sense. I mean, but I think that goes back to what Neil's saying. It's about play style and understanding when would be an appropriate time to play her and when wouldn't be an appropriate time.
I would say that's true for any other game but this game. And I'm not saying it's entirely unsure. I'm just saying I think she's not an amazing card because of this. First of all, she's the kind of card you want to hang around and use her ability to do a bunch of stuff. I don't look at her and feel like she's a card you bring out for a turn and breaks the game like a Luke or a Han. Like, if you can get Han to live a turn and get his ability off, you may have just won the game. I don't feel like she's that strong. The other thing is, this game doesn't really allow you to do too much keeping in hand unless you have a type of situation where you're not wanting to battle, you're not wanting to win edge battles. It just doesn't work that well in this game to be holding cards for a number of turns. So essentially, I think she's good. I don't think she's... let me rephrase it. I think she's amazing. And if I built this deck, I would want to build it around her. That's the real problem.
Sure.
But I feel like if I build this deck around her, then when I play Sith, I'm going to be very sad and think this is probably not the best deck that I could be playing right now.
Yeah, and I wouldn't build a deck just around her.
Gotcha. Right. I think that would be the key, is that she's a piece in a larger redundant puzzle.
Yeah, she's definitely a strong piece that you want to use, but yeah.
Yep. And I would have to agree with that, with her health. But what I'm saying is she's a card I would like to build around. She's that cool.
Fair.
All right, well, let us move on from the amazing Janors, who is not naked despite Ben's claims.
I was going to say, I'm really excited about this. Tiny got to announce a pretty cool objective. Neil got to announce a pretty cool new unique character that has a pretty cool ability. The next card in the objective set.
How about you announce the next two cards?
Oh,
yeah. Yep. No, that's fair.
I think you're missing the point. I was about to say, not only is number three a pretty underwhelming card, but a short card, but number three and number four are identical. So
yep, you get to do them both.
Cool. So three and four, everybody out there in listener land, is a one cost neutral character spy called Intel Operative with one force icon, one health capacity, and one black blaster. And it has the interrupt: when this unit leaves play, draw one card.
I love this guy.
I mean, who doesn't love draw?
In my draw deck, he's going to be so good.
So sad that this is the cards that I get to announce.
So that's what I'm going to say. Let the Wookiee win, kills him. Jan Ors bounces him.
You can sacrifice him with other effects like the resource in Rebel Han's pod, or he's a good target for... you're my only hope. Then you're drawing three cards and they're discarding one.
Wow. I like that. Yeah. I look at him as just a way to, you're basically paying a resource to filter your deck a little bit faster. And, you know, maybe you'll want to put him in and chump attack with him first, you know, make them waste some edge cards or do some damage to an objective and then have him killed. Or if you have the objective out, when he dies, he does a damage to the defender and draws a card.
Yeah.
The question is, do you want four of them in your deck? Because you're probably going to get four of them.
Hmm. I mean, it's not the worst card to get four of. Each one replaces itself almost immediately.
Hmm.
I mean, a worst case scenario would have all four of them in your play, all four of them because they're the only cards in your hand that you can play. But then you've just emptied your hand mostly, and you're going to draw cards from when they leave.
Yep. I kind of like him. I'm pretty happy with him.
Yeah.
Good addition.
Sure. So now that we've had such a rousing discussion about this, is it okay if I also do the next card?
I'm pretty sure it's my turn.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead, Ben.
Rousing discussion about the one cost, one health unit. The next card in the set, so this is number 5 of 6, is an enhancement, rebel enhancement, two cost called Safe House, has one force icon. So location, it has two resources, it enhances your play area, it is limited, and it has a reaction. After you win a force struggle, remove one focus token from this enhancement.
Hmm. I think this card is insane. Like, especially in some sort of deck where you think you're going to be winning the force, you basically get a two resource that refreshes entirely every turn. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, no, it's really good. And it's not the only one of these we've seen, right?
Is it? I mean, I don't know if we've seen any others that are like this, but it feels like it could be something that they give to every faction, because Rebels don't particularly control the Force that well always, so I could definitely see everyone getting a copy of this.
Yep, and it is limited on... Unfortunately or fortunately, depending on how you're looking at it.
Yeah, that's fair. It's like the Falcon's resource. It's limited. And also like that resource, I like that it does have one edge icon.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have to, you can use it in an edge battle.
Yep, and it's not unique. So you could have multiples of these out. I mean, if you get two of these out and you're winning the force every turn, you are going to be emptying your hand anytime you want.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be a great base to be playing Falcon out of. So you're like, okay, Falcon costs both of these doubled and one other one. So I have three more every single turn. So I'm excited about it. The question will be, can we find a good deck to put this in where we can actually use it? Because as you said, it can be difficult to win as the Rebels. You're generally just punching them in the face and saying, that's fine. You can win the Force. I'm not even going to bother with that. I'm just going to kill you.
Depending on the deck, you can still definitely take the Force as the Rebels. The other thing I really like about it is that it is a Rebel resource.
Mm-hmm.
And so hopefully if all of the other factions get it, I think that'll really help some of them, especially if Jedi get this sort of Jedi resource. Because whenever I play Jedi, I always run into the problem. I want to play, like, mind tricks and enhancements and protector dudes, and I just run out of Jedi resources to affiliation match.
Yeah, this would be amazing in your Jedi deck because you could go, you single focus it now, you win the Force struggle, start of their turn, they refresh, they try to attack with Palpatine, and then you Jedi mind trick him again. And they're just like, ah, stop with the madness.
Yeah, and this, I mean, by a similar token, this could be a nice kind of sneaky way to get off a Rebel Assault that they're not expecting. Only focus it, and then Rebel Assault on their refresh.
And by the way, when I meant Jedi Mind Trick with this, I meant if we had a Jedi version of this card.
Right.
Because it is Rebel. Yeah, I like that a lot, that idea a lot. It gives you flexibility to play that Rebel Assault. And then if you win the Force Struggle on their turn, it's refreshed again. So it could essentially be, three resources a turn, not even just two. That could be really strong.
Definitely another pro card.
Yeah, definitely. I really like this set. I feel like this set rewards pro play in general. So I like sets like that. The last card is also a pro card, Twist of Fate. And giving the Rebels another opportunity at Twist of Fate is really important because I know you guys feel the same way that if I'm going to a major event, I need at least one Twist of Fate so my opponents can't just know I will never be able to twist. So I'll jam in a single Leia or a single Falcon or something just to get that one twist. This is just more options. And an option with a resource in it is really nice. That's one of the reasons why I've picked Falcon in the past is just, well, Falcon doesn't do too much. I probably won't be able to get it out for five. I'm not looping it for other characters, but it does have a resource. It does have a twist. It has Bamboozled. You know, it has tricks in it. I feel like this pod could fit that exact same situation.
Sure. I mean, it's the same. I think there's a whole discussion we were having last week about, like, you should always just run one Leia. You know, one is enough, right? So that they know that there's at least one twist in there.
Yep.
So yeah, so having more Twists of Fate is not a bad thing, definitely, for sure.
All right, so what do you guys think? What is your overall rating of this pod from 1 to 5?
Go ahead, Neil. You take this one.
I want to give this a solid 4.
Okay.
I might be influenced in that I really enjoy some of the Rebel tricky style of play. And I just did very well with a mono Rebel deck that had some of that. But I think that it's all around, like we've been saying, of a just solid objective set that has a lot of internal synergy with the Twist of Fate, with Jan being a nice character, and just the draw from the operatives, and a really cool objective. I give it a 4.
All right. I was originally going into this thinking it was easily a 4. Maybe a 4.5. After talking about Jan Orzmore and really focusing on her 2 health, I started to think more and more it's probably a 3. It's really it's a cool, fun pod. And if we can find a deck that it fits into that becomes a tier 1 deck, I would easily move it up to a 4. But right now, I'm just not seeing exactly where it fits into Rebel. I could see maybe putting it as a 1 of in some pods, just, you know, you get the resource, you get 2 of that operative. I think most Rebel decks in the current meta wouldn't want 4 operatives. But I think I would give it a 3 for now with the understanding that I'd be happy to move it up to a 4 at some other later date.
Did you hear the code in there, Neil, at all? The code from Tiny being, I call this a 3 because I can't think of anything creative to do. But when Neil makes a really good deck with this, I might bump it up to a 4.
No, I mean, I already have a deck that's going to slot right into. And in that deck, it may end up being a 4. But I don't know. I didn't really think that Jan Ors was 3 for 2. I hadn't focused on that yet. And if Sith continues to be so dominant, I think it's just going to knock down the value of the pod.
I don't know. I mean, I would argue that if you think this is a card that you can slip into an existing deck, then you'll probably won't have success with it right away. I think this is a deck, or this objective set is a way you have to reevaluate how you're playing Rebel to make it so that it is more aligned, less punch you in the face and more control-y.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And so I don't think there's a deck, a Rebel deck that exists like that right now. So
my draw deck, it will fit in very well.
Yeah, that's actually how I played half a game with it, with some proxies, and I just slotted it into the draw deck just because that seemed like the obvious place for it.
Yeah. Taking out Akbar in the draw deck.
I put in 2 of this for the 2 Mon Mothmas.
Hmm. Ooh, wow.
See?
Interesting. I would not have done that, but that'll be interesting to see where we take it. But I do think you're right, Ben. I think it will fit best in a deck that is completely retooled and that is more tricksy and controlling. But tricksy decks in this game haven't worked yet, right? Like, they've been pretty good. They've been pretty fun. Neil's done pretty well with them. But I think Neil would say tricksy decks have been just not quite there. And we'll see. Maybe this will help push a tricksy deck all the way to the top, which I'm hoping for. So, Ben, what is your overall rating?
I would rate this on a scale of 5 apples, 4 oranges.
Alrighty. That's helpful.
Sure, yeah. So not a direct comparison. You can't directly compare apples to oranges in this situation.
Wow.
But it's good. I don't think I'm comfortable giving it a value rating of 3 or 4. Though I would agree it's probably somewhere in that range. I'd like to see how it plays out. I'd like to see how it feels playing with it, toying around with some ideas around, can you get enough blast damage into a deck where you're using this along with Rebel Han and Leia? Can you get enough blast damage in the remaining objective pods to do significant damage to your opponent?
Yes.
That was the wimpiest response I've ever heard. I don't want to give it a value until I've played with it.
What?
That's what we're doing here.
It's so surprising that, considering that the last couple times we've given pods values without playing with them, they have turned out to be normally the polar opposite.
Of course, but you gotta have the cojones to stand out there and try, my friend.
No, I don't think so.
Fair enough. Then I rescind my evaluation. I would like to give it an NA.
Unavailable right now. I think I said some interesting stuff. So I'm fine with my standing. Four right. Oranges on the 5 apple scale.
That sounds wonderful. All right. Well, let's move on then and say can't wait till the pack comes out. Let's talk about the first. Let's first say this: have there ever been another store championship? Are we the first, or were there some other ones already?
Yeah, I'm not sure if this is the first one, but I know that it's one of the first. So maybe not the very first, but this was definitely an early store championship.
All right, so we're just gonna say this: it's the first ever store championship, and Neil won. Congratulations to Neil on the first ever store champion.
Thank you very much.
Let's start with Ben, since he did not the best of us, although we all made top 4, so that was pretty good.
Good job, us.
Yeah, we ruled. I mean, we basically rolled down the street an hour and took 3 of the top 4 spots in a 13-man, fairly small tournament for what we're used to, bigger than, half the regionals last season?
Yeah.
Sounds about right. So Ben,
yeah, I mean, I think that would be a good place to start just really quickly. Like, so this is a store that had a regional last year where 5 people showed up. So here we are slightly less than a year later, and we had 13 players show up for a non-regional event.
It's a good sign.
It was actually a pretty good tournament for a store championship.
Yeah.
So how'd you do, Ben?
So I came into that third, fourth spot. I lost in the first round to Tiny08 in what I could only attribute to my regular kind of luck when it comes to organized tournaments, where my decks were like, here, do you want these cards? And I'm like, no, deck, I don't want these cards. Give me some other cards. They're like, okay, do you want these cards? No. What? Why are you handing me? This is all just garbage.
I must say,
garbage.
I was astounded when on the second turn, as the dark side, you put Palpatine into an edge battle. My eyes kind of opened a little bit wider and stared at you for a second like, what the heck has Ben doing?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I didn't get enough resources to play him until the end of the game. It was already turn two, and you already had one objective destroyed.
Yep. Yep.
There wasn't really much I could do in that situation. Yeah, I mean, it was frustrating because the decks worked really well the rest of the day. Just to summarize what decks I ran, I hadn't played Sith Control in a long time, and I felt like that was just something that I wanted to play going into it. I didn't get very creative at all. I used Matt Cole's Gen Con and Worlds deck for the dark side. For the light side deck, I played a version of our Worlds deck that I had been toying around with. What it ended up being was red 2, home 1, both 2 ofs, the prepare for evacuation, which was a 2 of, 2 Leia, 1 of the B-Wings, 2 of attack pattern Delta, and then 1 copy of prepare for battle.
You named 12 objective sets, though.
Nice.
Did I say home 1?
Yeah.
Strike home 1 from that list.
Oh, man, I was all excited. You ran a 12-objective deck.
No, it was only 10. I made a last-minute decision to sub in attack pattern Delta for home 1.
Gotcha.
I decided having more units. And so this was the same thing I had come up with earlier in the week as I struck Millennium Falcon from the deck and added Leia. My reasoning being in this particular deck where it seems to work really well when you have a bunch of the small costed units on the table. Right, that seemed to be my win condition for multiple times when I was playing during the last 2 weeks. It was have 4 or 5 of the small units on the table, make it so that they have to make hard decisions, and then, you know, basically win the game quickly. I felt that having the Falcon in the deck was like a false equivalent to like being good. Right, when I got the Falcon in my hand, I was like, oh, well, I have to play the Falcon because it's the Falcon. But having a turn where you're spending 5 resources to put only 1 unit into play just wasn't very strong in this type of deck.
Yep. It's still the unopposed mobile, but you're not getting full value out of it.
Yeah. And so in that case particularly, I was like, okay, well, Falcon comes out. And then once Falcon came out, I had to decide. And I thought there was a really good comparison between Attack Pattern Delta and Home 1 in terms of what the different objective sets offered. And so then I went at the end of it with home 1. Or not with home 1, with Attack Pattern Delta.
Yep. So you lost to me. You got the bye.
I got the bye in the second round, as always. So this is regular tournament BS for me. My decks didn't work, even though they're like tried and true decks. I then got the bye because I always end up getting either the first round bye or the second round bye if I don't do well. Mm-hmm. And then I went 8-0, and got into the top 4.
Yep. Well, we met again.
And then we met again, Tiny and I. Tiny will tell you how a little bit about his decks. I just want to say that when you're only running 4 Sith objectives and your turn starts against me and your 3 starting are 3 of the 4 Sith objectives, 2 of them being Vader's Fist, 1 of them being the Killing Cold, it doesn't bode well. Because there's no way you can do damage with 4 cards in your hand to the objectives significantly enough for them not to be cleared by just having chumps be sacrificed to clear the damage again.
Yeah. I definitely ran a bad deck with good objectives.
Tell us about it.
like I said, I didn't do any testing. I've been playing all other decks during the last couple weeks. Just I was having a lot of fun with the draw deck until these guys started playing Sith. And we were like, oh, yeah, Sith is really good and crushes my poor little draw deck. And then Ben was like, I'm playing Sith. And Neil was like, I'm playing Sith. I was like, well, okay. So the night before, I get word that maybe there's like a 20% chance I can go, so I better build some decks. So I decide that I'll build a vehicle deck. Vehicles are really strong. They stand up to Sith pretty well. So I just put together basically an objective set damage deck, played two Hoth operations, two defense of Yavin 4s. I feel like attack pattern Delta is an auto include just for what Ben said. It's just a ton of small, cheap vehicles with black icons or icons. They're going to be black if you have Hoth operations out. I feel like Blue Squadron Support, the new B-Wing pod, is an auto include in every deck that you could fit it into. It's just that good. All the cards in it are great, so I threw that in there. I only had room for one home one, so I put that in because the card I wanted to play, it's basically Learning from Worlds, that first turn Holocron into Palpatine pretty much beats this deck. So I decided to play Renegade Squadron, bring back Echo Caverns, and especially in a meta where half the players were a little bit green, Echo Caverns, whenever it hit the board, was just the most interesting card that ever was played. You know, people are like, wait, what? You can do that to my guy too? No, that let me see that again. Like, the card was just as good as it was when we first started playing it. So that was a lot of fun. Had a lot of targets of opportunity in it. All the objectives themselves were really good. So I was always having out a useful objective, and all the cards were good. So that was really fun. I didn't lose any games with the deck until I got to Neil and almost beat Neil despite Neil getting a Devastator out turn one. Neil had to play really well to win, even with a first turn Devastator. So I was very happy, actually, with the light side deck. Now, the dark side deck, that's another story. I was going to play Sith, and then, I don't know, crazy things happen at 2, 3 a.m., right? So I'm like, oh, it's 3 a.m., I'll just throw the Sith deck together. And then I was like, you know what? No, it's just a store championship. Nothing's on the line. I'm going to play a fun deck. And so I decided to play a 9 Hoth deck, which meant a crazy scenario of 4 Sith objectives, 4 Navy objectives, and then 2 neutrals. So what I decided to go with was 2 Vader's Fists, 2 General Imperatives, so increasing my reserve, decreasing theirs, 1 Dark Time for the Rebellion to screw them even more, deploy the fleet so I could get a bunch of resources in the deck, with the intention of never choosing it, so I could have all Hoth objectives, so I could have Killing Colds, so that either they could never destroy them, I could keep making Vader's Fist active, I could keep making the Imperatives active, or when they blew up an objective, I would get one, make it hard. And then Shadows on the Ice for free Wampas and Succumbs, and Sabotage in the Snow because that pot is really amazing. So I just went all Hoth, and the deck did very well some games. Like, I think Andrew had a Hoth deck, and so those little chuds that do 3 damage when they're unopposed were insane. But then most of the day, the deck just wasn't very good and kind of sputtered along. I had to use a lot of tricks like Desolation and the heats in the deck and just really be tricky and try to grind out tricksy wins that way. And I think I only went like 500 with the deck or something like that. It was a very bad choice, but it was kind of fun doing something a little bit different. I usually don't do that. I usually, like, if I could go back in time, I'd have just ran a Sith deck and been perfectly happy with it. Any thoughts on the decks?
What affiliation did you use for the dark side deck?
I decided to go with Navy because there are almost no Sith cards in the whole deck that I cared about at all. It was basically just Desolation, and then the other cards were those, the chumps that are good against Hoth objectives, but I don't really care about those guys anyway. And then the 501st Legion is Sith, but he costs 4. I'm usually not planning to play him. It has to be a very specific game in which I am playing him.
Really?
Well, he costs basically a whole turn. unless you get a bunch of resources out.
I guess it is a bit of a resource light deck, but he's just such a wall to get through.
Oh yeah, like I got him out one game and my opponent was flabbergasted. But if he's your only guy and they have four units out, I mean, they just sack a unit and then go through with the other ones. And so, I mean, he was annoying, but he wasn't actually as crushing on the board. Like, I would use him. I used him to block the Falcon, and they just bounced the Falcon. And it wasn't that big of a deal. And then it has cards like Fear in it, which I'm not playing anyway. So I decided to go with the Navy affiliation, and it worked fine. People weren't blowing up many of my objectives anyway early. Killing Cold really controlled the board a lot of the day. It's just it couldn't put out a lot of units. The units it did put out were bad. It just was a bad deck. But it wasn't so bad. So I won. Would I win all my games? I won like 8-0 against Ben, and then I think I split. No. The second round I won 6-2. My opponent played a little bit on the slow side. Then the third round,
you went 4-5.
I went 4-4. It was a true tie. And then in the last round, I got paired against a newer player in our meta who did very well. So I was really, really impressed by that, Aaron. And he was really upset that we got paired in the last round, because if he had 8-0'd, he almost certainly made it. And I was able to 8-0 him and get the 2 seed going into the final four, in which I played Ben. And my dark side deck worked very well in the first game. The nice thing about it is when it works well, it will blow up objectives. Like if your opponent's playing a character deck or something, it'll usually win and blow up objectives. It's if their deck is fairly quick and does a lot of damage, it's hard to use Killing Cold. So for example, I had a guy play against me, some incarnation of the Super Friends. He went turn one Han. This deck does not handle Han. He completely obliterated my board. I was able to blow him up somehow the next turn with Trickery. Turn two, Chewie. Did a lot of damage. I was able to Desolation of Hoth, kill Chewie. Turn three, Chewie. Okay, that was trouble. Turn four, Falcon, bounced it into a Luke. And that's how that game went. And I still almost won that game. It was the one that went to time. It was unclear who would have won. It was an interesting day. It seemed like that was happening to me that day. People were, except for against you, Ben, everyone got best case scenario in almost every game. It was just a crazy day.
Yep. Well, I mean,
I went on to face.
In our 3-4 match, we split. We each won on the dark side.
We didn't really split though, because I won the first game so handily. I did not try to win the second game.
But
I just,
you like, almost tiny times it because of that, and then the final score was only 3-2 objectives.
No, I had 4. I got 1 in the last game.
Well, then it was 4-3. We were only off by 1.
Yeah, but it was, like I said, it's because I didn't.
And it was one of those things where you looked at the score afterwards and you were like, wow, if you had actually taken down that objective when you offered it to me, because that's what you were like, you know, I've won because you can't get enough objectives.
Right.
If I had taken it down that turn,
yep,
and then taken down the other two that I took, we'd have had a true tie and you would have tiny grimes it and been like, oh yeah, I probably should have read the score sheet that I had just written down 15 minutes ago.
Yep. I thought I was up 3-0 instead of 3-1 as the dark side is what happened.
Right.
But yeah, but basically the light side deck did really well. Then I played Neil in the finals, and Neil goes turn one Devastator, and I'm like, well, that's a problem, as light side doesn't have like a way to remove a Devastator. So I essentially played the game out and did pretty well. I mean, I got one objective down, could have had another one down. Like I had it easily knocking out another one, but I had 7 force icons in hand for one battle. If I win the edge battle, I actually get all 3 objectives down, because I had out, what did I have out, Neil? Did I have home one and the blue leader, or some combination of that?
I think it was blue leader.
Okay, so I had blue leader. I would have been able to use his bounce to kill the last one I needed to kill and blow up this other objective, because I had 3 guys in, or some interesting combination. I had 7 edge cards in hand. I had made a miscalculation. He hadn't showed me anything from the defense protocol pod until his last turn. He discarded Death from Above, and I didn't notice because that was a terrible misplay. And I didn't think he had any twists in his deck.
And so my hand consisted of...
two twists, right?
Two twists, a one icon card, and 2/3/4 icon cards. Yeah. So I won that edge battle.
Exactly. And that won the game. And then that gave him a 3-1 objective split.
It was actually only a 2-1, I think.
Yes, you're right. It was 2-1. But I had to then, as the dark side, win. I had to kill two more than him. Because I couldn't do one more. I had to go. If we had a true tie, I was going to be totally screwed. So I had to go. So I had to win two more than him. And it completely changed how I had to play as the dark side. I never once took the force. I let him ping my objectives every turn, even though I had stuff out like Vader's Fist. Because all he had to do was say, okay, you take the force? Cool. Then I'll just defend and stall and maybe get one objective. And at worst case, it'd be a true tie. And then I'm still screwed. So it completely mangled how I had to play the game. But that was really smart of you, Neil. Like, Neil did an amazing job of holding back these cards, knowing this one edge battle is coming. It's so hard to do in Star Wars when someone's attacking you every turn to build this hand. Unless he got incredibly lucky on that last turn and drew all that. But I don't think so. I think he'd been crafting his hand for a couple turns, knowing it was going to come down to that one fateful end of the game edge battle. So I give you some serious props there, Neil, because I thought I was going to have the ultimate comeback against, you know, the ultimate start, and it didn't happen. And then in game two, Neil goes turn one, home one, and I'm like, okay, so I'm screwed. I'm not gonna get more objectives than Neil. So I got second. I was pretty happy with it. Got two full bleed Hans. I mean, I brought a Funzie's Dark Side deck, which is very unlike me, and I still got second. So I was happy with my day. I was happy to see my friend Neil be the first ever store champion. So let's hear about your day, Neil.
Sure. I had a really great day. Leading up to the event, I had been saying, I think I'm going to run Sith. Sith's really good. I think I'm going to run a kind of standard vehicle deck with vehicle protectors. That's really solid. It's what's been doing well recently. And then just a day or two before, I decide, you know what? I want to play decks that I feel more comfortable with, that I've practiced more with, that I've actually worked on personally to help kind of develop and come up with. And so I ended up running, for the dark side, a slight variation on our world's dark side deck, the big navy one. The only change I made was to take out the Jawas for a second Devastator, which was actually really great. It made those first turn Devastators a little more likely. Then for my light side, I ended up going with a mono Rebel deck that I had been working on before Worlds, trying to come up with a way to combo Leia and Rebel Han. And so I just decided to go with this somewhat untested deck in any kind of tournament format, and it worked really well for me on the day. So the deck is two Leias, two Defense of Yavin 4s, two the Rebel Fleets with Home 1, one of the new B-Wing objective set, one Decoy at Dantooine, one Rebel Han, and one the Promise of Alderaan.
You only had one of all those? How are you getting all those cards out against me?
I will admit that I had pretty good luck on the day. Not as much in that I always was getting first turn home ones and Devastators. I mean, I did at some games, and that certainly helped, but I got good luck in that I never had any awful, awful starts.
Nice.
Yeah, so I actually went undefeated through the Swiss rounds, just played well.
Did you go 8-0 in all your games?
In my semifinals game, I was the number one seed against the number four. I won my dark side first. I destroyed three objectives, he destroyed none. And so then my light side game, I just played defense and figured he couldn't blow up enough objectives and that I would win the tiebreaker and move on. And so that's what happened. So I kind of gave up my one light side game there to make sure that I won overall and moved to the finals.
And you were 8-0 up all the way up until that point.
Yeah, yeah, and then I 8-0'd the last game, so lost one game on the day. I felt really good about my record, but I also felt even better because I was winning with these decks that I really like and believe in, a mono Navy and a mono Rebel deck.
I think we need to hear more about the Rebel deck. So what were some of the coolest tricks you were able to pull off on the day with these cool tricksy stuff?
What I really like about this Rebel deck is that it has a lot more options than you might see at first glance. And that's how I'd kind of tried to build it, was that half the deck is tricks. You've got your Leia for refreshes and drawing. You've got Rebel Han to search out what you need at the moment. You have stuff like Decoy, which can be really, really great with Fallback or the Reset and the Promise of Alderaan. All of those add some interesting tricks that your opponents might not expect. The other five sets are just the punch you in the face, get the win sets, with Home One and Defensive Yavin 4 just has so much objective damage in it, with the Rebel Assaults and the Astromech Droid and the B-Wings add a ton of punch.
Yep.
So, depending on the matchup, if you're playing against a Navy deck, say, you can have really great starts where you drop a Leia, or you drop a Bail Organa, and you take the Force. And you can control stuff that way and not worry as much about these characters getting force choked. Or if you play against Sith, you can either put them down knowing they'll get force choked, or you can just play it like a vehicle deck and just really look to draw into your vehicles, get up a big fleet, and then attack and take them out that way.
Yeah, and I gotta say, Rebel Han is a scary guy to be going against, because you're just thinking about all the options they have, especially since you're playing a bunch of one-ofs. There's so many options for what you can go get.
Mm-hmm.
So you're looking at that, and you're like, all right, so he could get a Rebel Assault here. That would be pretty good. But my lord, if he gets a Home One, I don't have a way to handle Home One. What am I going to do? I can't kill Han. I'm going to have to actually try to focus him out, and I'm playing a Navy deck, so that's not going to happen. So now I have to find ways to, like, defend with Death Squadrons so that I don't take the full damage. Maybe I can win the edge battle. You're still getting the tactics out another guy. I know it was really difficult to try to figure out how exactly to handle him.
He's good, and one thing I really love about this deck that I want to point out that Rebel Han is a part of is a lot of these Rebel more trick pods have really good edge icons. I counted, and this deck has 9 different cards that have 3 edge icons.
Oh,
and I think
really
that was a huge part. So against Sith, yeah, Leia's not as good. She dies to a force choke even if they don't have Vader on the board. But she's still amazing for helping you win those edge battles against Sith.
Right.
So it was a lot about definitely looking at the matchup, saying, okay, I can play these cards this game, I can't play these cards this game, and let me just sculpt my hand so that I win these important edge battles and blow up as many objectives as I can. Leia did trigger once or twice for some pretty epic turns.
Hmm.
And really, the B-Wings are just so good, especially Blue Leader. Once or twice, I was able to have Blue Leader and Home One on the board. And if I didn't win that turn, I pretty much won the next turn, because they can just pump out so much damage.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to playing you in an actual straight-up game. Like, I feel like we didn't play a real game because I was in such a weird spot. But, man, things went really well for you that game. That even if we had played a real game, I don't think I could have won that, because you had the Home One right away. Han came out right after. The Bright Hope came out. I was terrified to kill Han because I couldn't handle another Home One. Like, even in a straight-up game, I was just thinking to myself, I don't know how I win this thing. This deck looks pretty good. So I look forward to playing against it with, like, a Sith deck or something, and to see how consistent that deck can be. Because I wonder, you know, like, a lot of this is new decks that are unseen. People don't really know what to do with in this game, right? Everyone expects the status quo.
Sure.
So, like, when we first had the Unblockables deck. That was really hard to deal with for a while, and so was that Desolation of Hoth. And once people see a deck a little bit and figure out how to handle it, it'll be interesting to see how good this deck is for real versus one tournament. But what I think is coolest about you, Neil, is you're able to find decks that can surprise people. And it's really hard, I think, to do that in this game, to surprise people with a deck that's actually good enough to win and not just surprise them.
Yeah, thank you.
So we'll see. We'll see how good it is going forward. And I imagine our audience will all be trying this deck at their store championship. So very quickly, it will no longer be a surprise deck.
Yeah, I hope so. I'd love to get more love for the Rebels.
So what's the name of this deck?
Oh, man, putting me on the spot.
The Smuggler's Han Trickery deck?
That is a terrible name.
To me,
yes, that is the worst name ever.
I don't know if this is a good name for the deck, but to me, it feels like a left-right hook.
Huh.
Because you have the left half of the deck that's kind of the tricks and the Leias and Hans and resets, and then you just have the right hook of Home One and Blue Leader that comes and smashes them in the face.
All right. Well, we'll see if we can find a more Star Warsy term, but for now, it sounds good to me.
What? Why would he need a more Star Warsy term? You came up with a deck name called the Super Friends.
I didn't come up with that name. That name's ridiculous. I call that Han Chewie Falcon.
Uh-huh. You did references today, though.
I don't think I did, actually.
You did?
No. If
Roll
I did,
tape,
it's only
Neil.
Because that's what
Roll
everyone else calls it. Some incarnation of the Super Friends. I detest that name. All right, but good job, Neil. I'm impressed. I was impressed with the deck. I think we all did well, had a fun time. Really, that's the most important thing. And our meta continues to grow, which is amazing that even in the dark time, we're adding new players who are excited about the game.
Yeah.
All right, guys. I think that wraps it up. Hope you enjoyed the spoiler, and we look forward to seeing you again in 2 weeks.
May the Force be with you.